We're recording.
Can you hear the lawnmower outside of my window?
No, I cannot.
Hey, this is the Dow House House Party, the official podcast of Dow House. Welcome back, party people. I'm Adam.
I'm Brian.
Thanks for joining us. And thanks for coming back.
Yeah,
Brian,
absolutely.
To co-host this jam. I thought of a pitch earlier where we could call this like the on-ramp, and I could just try to teach you crypto things every week.
Fun.
The reality is you'd know most of the crypto things, so I feel like it would be sort of a show.
You know, it's one of those areas where it's, you know, this is all engineering areas. It's complicated enough that if you're not doing it, you forget it. So I don't think about it. I haven't researched in a long time. I can hardly access all the stuff that I knew like 18 months ago.
Standards have changed. Yeah, to be sure. So first up, we got just Dow House updates. And the reality is not too much to say. Sign up for the newsletter. I'll have some links in the channels to, you know, catch updates when they come. We're working on some user interviews and we're paying 50 DAI for anybody who wants to jump in for a half hour to 45 minutes to do a user interview with us. So I'll have a link for that. Otherwise, designs are looking dope. You can check out the House Party, House Party Live YouTube channel if you want to both get these podcasts and see some teases of the upcoming redesign we're doing for the Moloch DAO. Pokemon revamp, essentially. But heads down, building that stuff. Which is fun times internally, but not too much to show you. So, coming soon. We're working on some events around the launch. I think that'll be fun. And we had another House Party Live. We had a guy that you know, Brian, Ramsey Brown,
nice,
on this week to talk about sort of ethics and responsibility in the space of AI and DAOs and where software is eating weird things.
Yeah, he's a delightfully colorful character to have on your podcast.
Absolutely. It's good times. So you should check that one out for sure. I will maybe recut it and put it out on this channel also. So stick around for the podcast. I'm going to try to start doing that with the house parties because you should maximize every incoming media, every media stream produced.
That's right.
Word. Otherwise, I think we can just bounce right to the post this week, which is about how we at Dow House use Discord and about how we think of where DAOs hit Discord.
Cool.
But also, I sent you a post that we'll be linking to in that post about sort of the genesis and like, what is Discord? Where did it come from? Why is it cool? But like, what's your like quick rundown on, you spend all day, and for context, you're CTO of a tech company, essentially. You spend all day in Slack, right? On some level?
Yeah. I mean, ideally, I would spend more of my professional communication time in Slack. There's also all the other places that you have to spend your time to talk with people. But yeah, that's our centralized chat. It's chat space, which is an interesting segue into Discord, right?
Right, for sure. I mean, even the idea of chat space, right? Like the fact that you Slack at all, knowing what I know about the composition of your company, which you're free to speak to, you know, I think in a whatever you think, but like you have to use email more than I do. That's how I would say it, right? Everyone I work with is onboarded with different platforms for email now, and so I don't have to use email.
Oh, that's really interesting too. Yeah,
you probably deal with a bunch of email like threaded conversations and emails still probably
in Outlook, which is a complete POS for that. Well, half our business is sales and marketing, right? Which is customer facing communication, and then half of the operational side of the business is on that customer side too. So you're kind of in the traditional business software space and the traditional business mindset. We're our own monolithic entity and all our communication should be secret and private, right? So you have to have that API into our human entities, which is email still for businesses. And email, I think traditionally, as most people think about it, right? So I think that's kind of where Discord comes in here, and kind of where Slack is coming in too, because we can talk about how we use Slack how it's not necessarily intended to be used. And it's a new access point into organizations or into groups.
Right. And then I think there's an interesting conversation in here that's, you know, touched on in the Discord story. So we could kind of run through, you know, I think the easy thing to say is probably most of the people listening to this are familiar with Slack. Some of them probably still even have to use it. They're probably coming from a similar world that I was, which was email was starting to fade out. You could say, hey, can we get a shared channel on Slack? And your dev team would go, yeah. Or the contractors you're working with will now say, totally, that's great. And you're tapped into their communications. And now I don't have to email with that organization. Like, that's doable and continuing to happen. And it's the reason Slack and Microsoft Teams are worth so GD much right now in terms of, yeah. Oh, raising money for this, made this much money this year. You know, like the you know, chat has taken off at this point.
Communication is key.
You and I have been using IRC to talk to one another our whole lives.
I'll never forget.
We 13.
This isn't the first podcast we've talked about this on, but I like the story. I'll never forget the moment in our like junior year physics class in high school that we got our infrared ports on our laptops to connect so that we could chat during class across the like big open desk table thing that the class was sitting at. I can like picture your face at the moment that we saw the connection work, and it was like a cartoon. It was hilarious.
My funny memory of that is your port was on the back and my port was on the right.
That's right.
So one of the things we were able to do was sit at a corner where we could see one another's faces and coordinate the effort without alerting the teacher.
Totally.
And then once we figured it out, we used to sit on the corner and talk to one another in, like, instant messenger that was connected on the local network or whatever. So silly. But it's the same, you know, like, so like part of the interesting part of having chat services is like, you know, this is one of those things that that we have talked about before on other podcasts, which I guess this is my opportunity to link to our previous work. But like, we've talked about the extent to which, okay, you have Slack that you can use. And a lot of times you see people on Twitter those threads catch heat every once in a while, particularly in the legal tech community, where it's somebody just going, oh my God, I hate Slack. And all their reasons are essentially things that I go, yeah, but I just grew up with that as a communication dynamic. And so that piece doesn't bother me. And here's the way I stay sane, because they are talking about a legitimate bombardment of information. It is a completely different way to exist than postal. Emails are still postal, sort of, in etiquette. You say dears and sincerelys, yeah. And you put your contact information in there. And, you know, and the threaded thing is just like extra frustrating to people that know that chat exists, because you're like, y'all are just using email like chat. Can we just move it to chat? So my email inbox is in a clusterfuck. And they're like, no, I have a human meat space process where I check my emails every day at the end of the day. And because I have a routine, you have to use shit software. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's a completely different conversation. But it's more so in the space of like, you know, it hits the human problem of coordinating communication. It's about the communication and the coordination, and it just like some pieces of it don't go away just because the engineers think they could. And then, but also there are like emergent solutions, right? Like Slack is a thing that has existed in some way in our lives forever. It just evolved into this way to use it for work. That was like the lightning in a bottle of like, oh shit, this makes work different. Let's use it.
It's funny how simple the shift is too, right? It's not Slack. If you look at Slack, it's just not very complicated. It's very, the general structure there is just something that works a little better and used things that were already around and concepts that already existed. And I was going to say, in response to kind of what you were just saying, the other part of this is that it's not just about the communication, it's about the community. And that's why you can't just move from one thing to the other so easily, right? There's a community in my business that is on email, they're on Outlook, and they interface with other communities that are on email and on Outlook. And it's really interesting if you if you look up when you start to think about email as an app in the modern sense of apps, right? It existed pre-app concept. So for us, email was just kind of always around. It was part of a computer. But for younger kids, I think you have to go install the Outlook app or install the Slack app or install Discord or install WeChat, right? So when you start to look at it that way and you start to actually look at numbers, I see a lot of, since we work in marketing and sales, right? A lot of our industry is around communicating and where are people? Where are these communities? And you see a lot of presentations and a lot of information presented where you just see user counts on email systems and they're on par with other communication systems, right? There are as many people on Outlook, as many people in communities on Outlook as there are people in communities on like WhatsApp and other messaging apps and stuff. And I don't know the exact numbers, right. But when you look at it in that context, it really brings home, these are just communities existing within technology spaces.
And then this kind of gets to the article and the part about Discord, which I think just you've had minimal exposure to Discord. So rather than jumping into what the hell Discord mm-hmm. is, I think let's start, like, what's your TLDR on what's the Discord experience versus the Slack experience? Unless I have already tainted it because I made you sign up for Discord like 2 years premature to the fact that people are realizing Discord's dope.
You've only tainted it because you have like 7,000 projects going on all the time in your life and you invite me to all of them. So my Discord is a mess of things that I'm not familiar with. But and I love it. That's not a knock on it. It's just funny. It's
a lot of reps.
It has more going on, right? It's got the same. Slack really is simple. Slack is, it kind of feels like the next generation of Slack, honestly, is really the easiest explanation. It was like my messaging app on my phone is what kind of Slack turned into a functional business product or a more functional community product focused on businesses. And Discord feels like the next version of Slack. It just incorporates more stuff. It's more flexible in how it's used. It feels consumer, right, compared to Slack, because Slack just has all these limitations. I've tried to use it personally and it kind of doesn't work right. It feels like the next evolution. Just has more going on.
I've been using Discord for, I don't know, 3-4 years. I became aware of it as part of the narrative that they now tell as they get to like being a, I think they just raised $400 million or something, right? Like that's a substantial raise for a startup.
Total, yeah. Over the years.
They have raised, yeah, right. So, you know, money is getting poured into making it the next Slack or the Slack for something else, right?
It emerged out of the world of gaming.
It's the first place I ran into it. But the real thing that happened for me is like a community and technology person is I went, oh, it feels different in here. Like it's not necessarily my people, but it feels different in here. And then slowly the builders and the startup people and the open source community people started increasingly being on Discord. And so then I started going places and going, we should set up a Discord and, you know, somewhere like LexDAO. And once we got it going in there, yeah, it was the best place to do everything that we needed to do in a really compelling way that's slightly different. Mm-hmm. I would say the fundamental difference is Slack, although they have started to make changes because they see Discord coming for their, you know, place in the comms. I don't use Slack anymore, except when I need to talk to you or a couple particular advisors. And I'm doing the same stuff. And it's just in a way that works better for me. And the fundamental difference, I think, is there's two pieces, right? Discord was built by gamers to be a let's talk to one another while we play Call of Duty and even stream one another's screens so we can watch each other play. And so they solved for like latency and for refresh rate and for all these things that matter for making people feel like they're actually hanging out in the metaverse space with one another. And then ultimately went, oh, if we do this and this and this, and it, like, you know, it builds out a community thing. The other fundamental thing, and this is a tough part sometimes, is when you join a Discord server, it's a lot like drinking from a fire hose because you are in every channel from the start and you have to like pick the ones you don't want to be in. And you can control that as a community manager if you effectively manage what the onboard process. It's just the process. It's what community managers do. But to be clear, that's also what community managers do with email and socials and things like that and other projects. It's not entirely a new thing. But because you're in everything and you can see everything, like Slack, you need to know to go to look for a channel or get added by a manager. And that creates a need for managers. Hmm. Whereas Discord creates a need for somebody to manage the onboard process. But ultimately, you can go into everything that you see from the moment that you jump in there and choose to not pay attention to things. And yeah, so if you select for the development channel, the design channel, and general notifications, like you still see everything else. It's still open. You can just pop in there.
It's based on that fundamental philosophical split that is everywhere in everything, right? I mean, I was going to say in business, and I was going to say in technology, and then I was going to say in a bunch of stuff. But it's, do we want to come from a place of openness, or do we want to come from a place of closedness, privacy, or total privacy or total openness, right? And I personally subscribe, like, spiritually or philosophically or however you want to put it, to we should be fully open. Everything should be. That's like the point of the universe, is sharing information. And it's so easy to look at everything from the perspective of society and how we do things and how we operate our personal lives. And even with that word, right, our personal lives versus our businesses and stuff. It's so easy to be like, oh yeah, totally. I like sharing things too. Except, but, right? But I think it's the wrong. I think one of the fundamental rules of everything, like religions, kind of like the golden rule, it should be added, like, also be really open and share everything, which it kind of is, right? Turning the other cheek is kind of sharing.
And so, right. And so if you start from the open, and so the reality of a project like DAO House is we're building with open source software. So, like, right fundamentally from the beginning, we're starting with the idea of maybe we can build a novel way to capture the value that what we're building produces. But we don't own the intellectual property. I don't have to go get a patent. I don't have to fight over who owns 10% of blah, blah, blah thing, because we're starting from open software. And so already our economic incentives get weird. And then you end up, you know, with this sort of, the reason that Discord has taken off is because this version of Slack-esque thing, to the people that we're talking to that maybe know Slack, but not Discord, like, it's just slightly different. And it works really well for communities where people are like, yeah, everybody can play. I mean, we might kick you out if you suck. That's a feature the admins have. But, like, you know, that's Twitter, that's Reddit, that's whatever, right? And then you just kind of ride that maximally open wave, and you close off the things as necessary when they become attack vectors against the common good of the community or the project. Discord is just really good for that. And it's one of the things that they have, is I would say their model is, like, way more sort of, it more effectively reproduces. And this is what the other article is about. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the bridge. Discord is the bridge from Slack to the metaverse, because fundamentally their mental model for how to organize this stuff is based on office geography and not topics and teams. And it can be organized by topics and teams, because that's all in there. That's, you know, you can use it that way. You just have to set it up. But, like, every channel I hang out in has, like, a happy hour channel. And sometimes there's just three people in there, and you pop in and they're like, yo, we're playing chess. Whatever. Like, you know, it creates a space that's a lot more like having rooms in an office, and reproduces the thing where they're like, I wish I could get back to offices, because we don't have the happenstance. Right. We don't have the, you know, you don't just pop your head in to an office and end up in a conversation, you know? And on Discord, I do. Because you just see people in a channel and you go, hey, what are you guys up to? And sometimes they're like, we're processing invoices. And you go, I can't help with that.
All right, I'm out of here.
Not my department. I'm out. But then fundamentally, like the reason we're even talking about it, I think, is the way that Discord thinks about this stuff collides with DAOs and what we're actually building at DAO House, because this is the layer where now we can start to use like tokenized ownership and collective ownership, what we call participatory ownership or ponership for the meme, is we want that comms dynamic that exists on Discord. And so we really just kind of think of Discord as part of the stack. You know, check out Discord. Great place for communities. If Discord works for your community, DAO House will probably work. If you want to like wrap it in, you guys have a collective bank. Those funds are controlled by voting in the community. The vote notifications will feed to Discord so you don't miss your votes. Like, we're endeavoring to play nice with Discord because honestly, it's selfish. We use Discord and we want to get notifications for when we're supposed to vote on our proposals so we get paid. But we give the software away because it's all open source. So, you know, hop in, fundraise for your project, use a DAO, live in Discord. It's a complete, like, that metaverse exists for me now. My work metaverse is off Slack, off email, a little bit in Telegram, and all in Discord. And I spend a lot of time just kind of popping from call to call, which is specifically my function.
That's a lot of people's functions.
The stuff I oversee.
That's my function in my job these days. I just hop from meeting to meetings, right? I think you've found a good home for DAO House, both like culturally, structurally, and technologically, right? It makes sense to layer on top of a platform like this, right? Clearly we're continuing to head in these directions, right?
Right. So,
awesome.
And then the people that really need that, like we're standing in a room together because the door is closed and we're focused vibe, VR.
VR gets you there. And that'll be the next layer, right? I'm sure you're going to see VR availability popping into Discord, right? It just makes sense. It's silly to not keep looking at these communication technologies being stacked.
I'm constantly keeping my eyes peeled for when the right time is to move the various talk shows that I oversee at this point to a VR space.
Me too.
Just to see what happens.
We'll get back to that and explore it. We were close to doing that with our other podcast.
Close for sure.
A little while ago.
Word. Otherwise, that's it.
Awesome.
We're at time. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thanks to everybody for listening. Like, subscribe if you're on YouTube, get more of these, get notifications, check out the links in the description for other places to find us. But we have a Discord server. It has a public tier. Hop in there, check out Discord, talk to us. I'm the Kerp everywhere. And now that you have done this call with me, you're also in our Discord server. So
fabulous. Thanks for including me.
Hang out if you want to say hey.
In all the fun rating.